You know, after Easter, we had just a great Easter here at St. Monica's, and it was Monday morning, and, you know, we had thousands of people in the whole week, and I woke up, felt like I had a truck hit me. So I had planned to go up to New Camaldolese, which is right up above Cambria and the Hearst Castle. It's maybe an hour outside of that area, right in the on Highway 1. And this community of people live there, and they live in common, and they have a under the patronage of St. Romuald, that's a Camaldolese order, an order of monks, and they pray together and work together. And so it's a very, very simple, rudimentary life. But the, and you might say, well, what value is that? I don't know, actually, to be honest with you, what the value is. But I do know that by inviting people into that place, into that monastery, you catch a sense of silence in this world that is so crazed with noise and volume and pace. And so to have a couple of days, I wish I could take all of you up there. It's just incredible. So if you get a chance, it's literally Highway 1. Psh, you're right up there. They take people to, you know, that want to come in and spend a little time there. It's New Camaldolese. It's right there in Big Sur. And it's an extraordinary, extraordinary place. The problem is I come back with about 2,000 ideas for you. So I'm sorry, it's going to be a bit scattered tonight, and I don't know how else to kind of put it together, but here are some thoughts about this scripture reading on this Sunday. I had more time than I should to do it, so that's why you're getting more than you deserve. First of all, we're talking, I don't mean that, I was just being facetious. You know, the early church can sometimes be put in the early church. But that isn't what this gospel and the readings are about. They are given to us to tell us about an early time, but they're given to us to have an eye for what's happening today. It isn't just what happened then. So as an example, in Acts of the Apostles today, we have, you know, the disciples going out after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they're on fire. And they come into a community near the temple, and they heal people, and people want to hear them, and the numbers increase. There's a great gift there. Well, we had that Easter Sunday. I mean, literally, the crowd was all the way up to Washington, and I went there because we had this couple. You talk about the Acts of the Apostles. This couple that owned this one of the coffee houses in the Los Angeles area. They own several places. They spent the morning with a whole group of our volunteers. They made the coffee, gave the coffee, helped to create this so that people could just have a little something as they waited in line. And that's such an extraordinary thing when you see that kind of thing happen. And I asked every person. I stood there in line, went up the line, and just talked to people. And that's the fire of the early church. When people come and, you know, question that I asked them, how do you like this new pope? My God, they're all on fire. They all love Francis. And so, I mean, that's a wonderful thing when you see that kind of life. Heard about a guy today, just told me during the day that, you know, he's out of work and he's got a lousy mattress. And some guy heard about it in this community and last night came and delivered a brand new mattress for him. I mean, those little things that happen in a community. You know, we don't have to go back to Paul and Peter. They happen in our world. So I think that, you know, when we see a church that was in such dire need and right in the nick of time, we have, you know, the resignation of one pope and then Francis coming on the scene and creating a whole new energy for us and saying to us on Holy Thursday, when questioned about, you know, a practice of washing the feet of criminals, washing the feet of women, washing the feet of Muslims. Not that they're in the same category, but, you know, he did all of that. And you know, his response is, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. I don't have a reason. I don't have an explanation. It's a matter of the heart. That's the early church. That's the fire of the church. That's the gift of this spirit that comes out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it can be done in the simplest matters. Bringing a mattress over to someone who doesn't have one. Serving a cup of coffee. Suggesting that what we do is not always reason because we think it's absolutely right and you're absolutely wrong. But something that is a matter of the heart. Those are the great things that we celebrate. And then as we move towards that second reading of the revelation of the disciple John, he's at Patmos, and he comes to see Christ. And what are Christ's words to him? Christ's words to him are not, "Why were you unfaithful?" That isn't his word. His words were, "Why did you sin?" Those were not his words. "Why didn't you take care of my mother, John? You know, I gave you my mother. Where is she?" Those were not his words. The words of the risen Christ were, "Have no fear." Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you pray to Jesus Christ, those are the words, "Have no fear"? That's what we need. We don't need to be told all those other things. We need to be told, "Have no fear. Take the courage that you're given today and go out and make some difference this week. Don't hesitate. Go do it. Have no fear." And then that wonderful gospel. That gospel is literally depicted in that beautiful image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at the image. He's risen. But what do you see about the risen Christ? He looks good. He's in a white outfit like I have. He's got this big circle around him, which is the image of holiness, the Alpha and the Omega, which we just talked about in the letter of John. But look at his hands. Look at those hands. My brothers and sisters, he's got some wounds. The risen Christ has wounds. So do we. We now, the body of Christ, we share in the resurrection, but we share in the wounds of Jesus Christ risen. So there is still a great struggle in this world. Rick Warren, wonderful pastor, a brother in Jesus Christ, taught me so much about hospitality and welcome and all those things of a community. His own son, Matthew, 27 years of age, took his life this weekend. My brothers and sisters, depression is pervasive across every family, all nations, all people. We need to recognize the wounds. We need to see who they are and where they are and be attentive to that. And especially today, to pray for that family, for Rick and for his family. Great struggle that they must experience right now. A good friend of mine came to me yesterday. We went for a little bike ride and he was telling me about his uncle. His uncle was a gay man. His uncle took his life, asphyxiated himself in a garage. And in his email to his family said the only love of his life, the only time he ever experienced love, was with his two dogs. That's horrible that we live in a world where a person can only experience love there. And yet we continue to name people and separate people and divide and call people by all sorts of things. My sisters and brothers, those are the wounds of Jesus Christ. We must be aware of those wounds. We must do something to help to heal. By our life, by our attitude, by our love. Early this morning, I had a little chat with a couple of folks and the hospital call came in and I went over to Santa Monica Hospital and there's a young woman dying, Sylvia. And I said to that family, anointed her and said to her, "Sister, I'm going to have this whole community pray for you all day." Now, I don't know where Sylvia is tonight, but I know that every Mass today, we prayed for that good woman. She will be, Sylvia Vargas, will be close and with God. And so my sisters and brothers, I think today, person that's put up for us, certainly the resurrected Christ, but the person that is put up to us today is Thomas. Thomas is this man, some disciples somewhere in that early church, that was in the wrong place and didn't get. And John goes after Thomas three times in the gospel. Once when he says, "I will follow you to his death." And of course he ran like blazes. The other time when he said, I am the great word of life. And he said, "We don't understand. What does that mean?" He was, so John puts Thomas as this doubting person, as this person. But what we don't understand is that this Thomas is really out of the end of the century. Because John's writing of, follow me now if you can. Don't go to sleep just yet. John's writing is in the 90s. So he's not just talking about this disciple back in the life in that early time in the 30s, 20s. He's talking about a church today that's living that out. And there is a Thomas in that church. Not just the original disciple, but the Thomas of this 90s, of today. Who doesn't understand, doesn't believe, doesn't come to understand what it means to have this risen Christ in our midst. How can that be? How does that happen? It happens, my brothers and sisters, when the community, doesn't live out that resurrected Jesus Christ. Yes, with our wounds, but the risen Christ. When a community doesn't believe that when someone dies in their family, that person lives just as Jesus lived. Lives in this new way. Yet we say to people when someone dies, you know, sorry, you won't see him again until you get to heaven, so you got to move on in your life. Nonsense! That person is alive. I believe my mom and dad have as much to say to me today as they ever did. When I open a door from time to time, I know this sounds crazy. I can open a door and I can smell the scent of my mother. It's not by luck or chance. We feel it. These people are alive. Community of St. Monica's, we've got to believe in that. That's why people doubt us, because we're not convinced. And then we've got to go out. We've got to go out as wounded people. But wounded people that are chosen. People that go out and believe that they are the body of Christ with all of our sins, all of our addictions, all of our struggles. My God, if I waited till I was perfect before I preached, I would never preach. I couldn't. You see, it's not about our goodness. It's about carrying the wounds of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knowing them, knowing that they save us ultimately and finally, and being attentive to those wounds in our community. So yes, we must be spiritual, but we also need to be religious. We can't do it alone. We do it in community. We do it faithfully. We do it in the body of Christ. With that, you and I today say, with Thomas, my Lord, my God.